إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Still in the chapter of Qital Ahl Baghi from the book Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani that is fighting the people of Al-Baghi transgression. The people of Al-Baghi, these are the people who transgress against the authority. Those who transgress against the authority. These are the people of Al-Baghi. They are somehow different from the Khawarij. Though the people, the Khawarij, they are people of transgression as well. But when they talk about the people of Baghi, these are people who transgress on the authority. But they have what is called Ta'wilun Sa'ir. Ta'wilun Sa'ir. They are going out of obedience, or their disobedience to the authority has a kind of a permissible interpretation. It has a kind of permissible interpretation. Just like what transpired between some of the Salaf, that is the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like what transpired between Ali radiallahu anhu and the people of Sham, that is the battle of Siffin and the battle of Jamal. These two battles were as a result of misunderstanding, so to say. So the most important thing is that when there is a kind of baghi transgression on the part of those who are not the authority, to the authority. So they are called people of what? Baghi. That does not necessarily mean that those people who are involved are not pious people. They are not good people. They may be good people, they may be pious people, but for the fact that there is a kind of transgression on the authority in one way or the other, so if they do not turn away from that transgression, they are supposed to be forced. They are supposed to be forced. So when they say people of Baghi or the Bughat at times, So they refer to people like this. At times, they may use the word Bughat for the Khawarij. The Khawarij, these are people who revolt against the authority, who go against the authority, بتأويلٍ غير صائب, without a permissible interpretation. They do not have a permissible interpretation. That is what they are doing to revolt against the authority. It's not what the Sharia, It's not what the Sharia, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees as a genuine excuse to revolt against the ruler. It's not a genuine excuse, genuine argument to revolt against the ruler. So these are the Khawarij. These are the Khawarij. So the Khawarij, they are people who revolt against the authority without a genuine excuse. And they are people who do not have what Shauka, do not have Shauka. Shauka means maybe they have what a formidable army that can withstand that of the authority. So they don't have a formidable army that can withstand that of the authority. So they are treated as what? As the Khawarij. So they revolt against the authority. And in addition to that, they do not have what formidable army to tackle the government. So in addition to that, they are what within the enclave, so to say, of the authority. They are within the area that the authority has what influence on. So unlike maybe the Ahlul Baghi, for instance, they may have what a formidable army. They may be outside the influence of the authority. They may be outside the influence of the authority. They may have what formidable army as well. Possibly they have their own ruler. Take for instance, let's assume that Iraq is attacking Kuwait. This is what is Baghi, is transgression. Is transgression. So when they attack, so this can be what a good example of what Ahlul Baghi, the people of Baghi, can be a good example of the people of Baghi. People of Kuwait, for instance, they have what? They have their own, the people of Iraq, for instance, they have what? Formidable army. And maybe they have their own authority as well. Only they are transgressing on the other nation. This is what Al-Baghi. So we can easily apply the verse, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا, when two groups among the Muslims, among the believers, are fighting, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا, try to reconcile between both of them. فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى, if one of the two transgresses on the other. Ordinarily they started without transgression. It led to fight. Then there's transgression on the part of maybe one of the two parties. فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبُغِي, then you all should come together and fight the one that transgresses. حَتَّى تَفِيَ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ, until it goes back to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ فَأَتْ, if it goes back, فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ, reconcile between them with justice. So this is what Baghi, that you are talking about. But for those who revolt against the authority for a reason not genuine in the Sharia, it may be genuine to them, but in the Sharia, the reason is not genuine. These are people treading the path of the Khawarij. Treading the path of the Khawarij. And that's why we have to look at the reasons given by the Khawarij to revolt against Uthman radiallahu anhu, or to revolt against Ali radiallahu anhu. The reason given, these reasons are not genuine in the Sharia. Their reasons could be either the government or the authority and not ruling by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, which may be what? A genuine reason at times. At times, maybe the government is unjust to them. The government is denying them their rights. All these are not genuine reason to revolt against the authority. To them, it may be a genuine reason. But when you go back to the Quran, you go back to the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are not genuine reasons. And most of the people who revolt against the authority today, who will start with peaceful demonstration, and this will later lead towards armed demonstration, and later it results into the destruction of property, the killing of lives and the likes. If you look at them critically, their excuse for doing this is that the government has not provided so and so, the government has not done so and so, the government has denied us our rights, the government has eaten up the wealth of the nation, things like that. But when you look at the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one will discover that the Messenger of Allah sallam did not ask us to revolt against such rulers. Rather, he asked us to be patient. So this is the solution. And that's why I said it's not acceptable in the Sharia. To them it may be acceptable, but in the Sharia it's not acceptable. In the Sharia, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked us to what? To be patient, not to revolt against them. So the Khawarij of the past, something like this. Or maybe they say what is not ruling by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. If you see Dhul-Khuwaysir al-Tamimi criticized the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam openly. Why? Because he believed he was not just in the distribution of the zakat or the booties. And that was why he told him to his face, "Adil, be just. فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تَعْدِلْ." You have not been just in this distribution of the wealth. So when we look at that, this tells us that he is accusing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of injustice with respect to what? Wealth. And that he has not ruled by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So if you look at the father of the Khawarij, Dhul-Khuwaysir al-Tamimi, during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was this angle through which he attacked the best of mankind, and he accused him of injustice. So if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could be accused of injustice, then who else could be saved from this? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the people. He said, "Satarawna ba'di asaratan." You shall see after me asara, misappropriation of wealth, favoritism. Wa umuran tunkirunaha, and a lot of things that you wouldn't like. He said, "Fasbiru, be patient. Hatta talqawni ala al-hawj, until you meet me on the hawj, that is the fountain." In one of the hadith, he was asked, "Famadha ta'muruna? What do you order us when we see that?" He said, "Tu'adduna alladhi 'alaykum. What you are supposed to do to your authority, you do. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What they are supposed to do to you, you ask Allah." Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had known by the revelation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him that something of such will happen later. Because if he could be accused of injustice, despite the fact that what he has reached the apex of justice, somebody can still accuse him of injustice. That means there is nobody, no ruler, that will score 100% from the people. If some people are saying, "Oh, he's a good ruler," there are some people that will be saying, "What, he's unjust." Because even the Prophet Allah did not score 100%. There were some people that had that thinking of Zul Khuwaisira. And that was why he said, "What, Yakhruju min dikdi adha. Yakhruju min dikdi adha." So people like this will come, "Yahkiru ahadukum salatahu ma salatihim." One of you will belittle his own salah when he looks at his own salah, that is the salah of that person. وَصِيَامَهُ مَا صِيَامِهِ. He will belittle his own fasting when he looks at the fasting of that person. وَقِرَاءَتَهُ مَا قِرَاءَتِهِ. The recitation of such a person, if he looks at it, he belittles his own recitation. يَقْرَأُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. He will be reading the Quran. La yujawiz taraqiyahum. The Quran they are reading will not go below their throat. Yamruquna min ad-din. They will be going out of the deen kama yamruqu sahmu min aramiyya. The way the arrow goes out of its target. What did he say? Said, "Faida laqituhum. Faida laqitumuhum. Faqtuluhum." When you are alive and such people come out, "Aqtuluhum," kill them. "فَإِنَّ فِي قَتْلِهِمْ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا لِمَنْ قَتَلَهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ." The one who participates in the killing of such people, he has great reward before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. The question is, why will we be ordered to kill somebody the salah of whom we appreciate more than our own salah, the fasting of whom we appreciate more than our own fasting, recitation of whom we appreciate more than our own recitation? It is because they go away or they go out of the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in relating with the computed authority. So this does not mean that the Sharia justifies what the leaders are doing. The Sharia is against it. But in order not to shed the blood of the people, not to waste their life, the rulers that you have that are unjust to you, they are replica of you people. If you people are okay, Allah will give you rulers that will be okay. For the fact that you are not okay, Allah has tried you with rulers that are not okay. So all you need to do is for you to be patient and for you to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it was said when Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi was killing people, some people, they gathered themselves, they said they will go and work, ask for their rights and things like that, fighting. Al-Hasan al-Basri was telling them, "Inna al-Hajjaj," said, "certainly Hajjaj is what? Iqabullah, is the punishment of Allah. فَلَا تَدْفَعُوا عَذَابَ اللَّهِ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ. You can't fight the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your hands. You have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to do, do. When you do what you are supposed to do, you say everything will be okay for you. What I'm trying to say in essence is that those who fight the authority, the government, if you ask them what is your reason behind this, they say they are what? They are unjust. They are not doing this, they are not doing this, they are not doing that. All that they will count will either have to do with what? Worldly things. And if it has to do with religious matters as well, that this is the reason they are fighting, the Messenger of Allah has also addressed that. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Illan tarau kufran bawaha." Unless if you see what? Clear kufr. He didn't say what? "Illan tarau ma'asiyatan." Unless if you see what? Ordinary ma'asiyat. "Illan tarau kufran bawaha indakum nallahi fi burhanu." You see clear kufr that you have what? Evidence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is kufr. And if you see that, you have to weigh whether if you go out against this man, you are likely to watch, you are likely to be victorious, or you are likely to cause more harms. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also passed through that stage of having to be in the midst of those who are ruling with other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. But that's why this, he did not ask for people to revolt against them, because he knew that the military war with that was not in existence then. So when we talk about Ahlul Baghi, people of transgression, we are not talking about the Khawarij, majorly. Yes, there is transgression on the part of the Khawarij, but those that they are talking about, these are the people that have permissible, so to say, interpretation. Permissible interpretation of going against the authority, of not taking toward the authority as such. And this is the way what transpired between the companions would be explained. What transpired between the companions, that is Ali radiallahu anhu and Aisha radiallahu anha, Talha, Al-Zubayr, in the battle of Jamal. The battle of Siffin, Ali radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah and others. What transpired between them can be explained in this way. And that's why those people involved, the all pious people. Yes, mistakes were made, but those who are involved are what? Are pious people. Not the same thing as happened between Ali and the Khawarij. And that was why when Ali radiallahu anhu was fighting Aisha radiallahu anha, Az-Zubayr, Talha on the one hand, likewise that of the people of Siffin, he was asked, "Do you have any evidence for this from the Prophet that you should fight these people?" He said, "No." He said, "This is what Ra'ayn Ra'aytuhu." As Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala recorded, this is what I've seen, that this is one an opinion that we should fight these people. But with respect to the case of the Khawarij, he was happy fighting them, because he had enough ahadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the Khawarij and the case of the companions were not the same thing. So those who are voting against the authority now, using what transpired among the companions as evidence, well, these are two different things. Most of those who are revolting today, they are revolting for what? Worldly benefits. you are voting for worldly benefit. So the place is different. Because you see some of them today say, okay, Al-Khuruj al-Hukam, revolting against the authorities, what? Mas'ala khilafiyya is a controversial issue among the people of Sunnah. What type of controversial issue? Even what transpired between the companions, they regretted it. Aisha radiallahu anha regretted going out. Regretted going out, as this is what established. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu did not join them. Sa'd ibn Abu Waqqas did not join them. Aisha radiallahu anha later told Abdullah ibn Umar, why didn't you prevent me when you saw me going out? He said that I saw somebody had overpowered you, had convinced you in going out. It was clear that Aisha radiallahu anha did not did not allow herself to be buried in the room in which the Messenger of Allah was buried, because she believed that she had done something wrong after the death of the Messenger of Allah, and she was buried in Al-Baqir where the other wives were buried. In one of the reports, whenever she remembered that incident, she would cry until Ajilbab would be wet. Then somebody will now come out to use it as what? As evidence that no, we can revolt against the ruler. Ali was allowed and who also was regret even fighting. Ali, on the other hand, will regret what? Fighting. Then some people will come to say what? You can revolt against the rulers. What transpired between the companions has nothing to do with what revolt against the ruler when we look at it critically. It's not like the case of the Khawarij. But let's assume that what is a revolt against the ruler. Those people who participated in it, were they happy with what happened? They saw that as what a mistake on their part. So when the case of the Khawarij happened, Ali Wajallah was very happy. To the extent that when Zu Sadiyya, that is the leader of the Khawarij, was killed, Ali Wajallah was looking for him. When he saw him, he made takbir. He did just to shook, because Messenger Allah told him, describe the person, how he be. So that made him know that what he was on the right path. So those who are voting against the authority for worldly things, they have no evidence at all to vote against the authority. They don't have any evidence. Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that tatarawna ba'di athara, you will see a lot of favoritism after me. Wa umuran tunkiruna, and so many things that you would not like. Fasbiru, be patient. In another report, he was asked, what do you order us? He said, to aduna alladhi alaykum, do what you are supposed to do. Wa tasaluna Allah alladhi lakum, you ask Allah your own rights. Some may say it's because they are not praying, they are not doing that, they are not doing. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us know that rulers will call that yuakhiruna salata amma waqitiha, they will be delaying the salah out of their time. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala commenting on this, he said, what is the meaning of yuakhiruna salata amma waqitiha? They will be delaying the salah out of their time. Does that mean that they will delay Zuhr till the last part of Zuhr, or they will not pray Zuhr until Asr has come? He said the correct opinion is that they won't pray Zuhr until Asr has come. So the companion asked the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what should we do? He said, what? Salli salat al-waqt, you pray at the right time. Wa salli ma'ahum, when you see the authority praying, also join them in prayer. Takum laka nafila, I will be nafila for you. He didn't say fight them. He didn't say fight them. Does that mean that Mr. Nola is approving what those people are doing? No. Even Tenia trying to explain this. He said, look at the Mr. Nola. He was telling us, or telling the people, to be patient with the unjust rulers. And he's asking people to fight the Khawarij. The ahadith of fighting the Khawarij, killing them, are many. In Sahih Muslim alone, just open Kitab al-Imara. There's a lot of ahadith on this. But the rulers that we are supposed to fight, going by our own watch, our own judgments, those who are denying us our rights, we see hadith telling us be patient with them. Allah is going to question them concerning what he has put under them. So today, the Muslims, they throw this away. Those ahadith are not applied. Rather, what you want to do is to use the Western standards. We deceive ourselves by saying what we are going to do, peaceful demonstration. From peaceful demonstration is going to become what? Armed demonstration. When it all started in Libya, it was peaceful. To the extent that Gaddafi himself also what? Also staged another peaceful demonstration. Thinking everything will be peaceful. He never knew that that was going to land the people of Libya in what? In problem, that it would take them years to come out of it. It continued, a lot of property was destroyed, houses, children, wives, husbands were killed. Gaddafi himself was killed. Yet Libya has not gone back to his previous state. The problem continues to the extent that if somebody goes to Libya and he doesn't know how to walk, they pick him, they sell him. They pick him, they sell him. For those who make use of his liver, make use of his kidneys and the likes. And these people were enjoying, who were enjoying before. But because, why? Is he the only one? He's been power for the past 41 so years. Let other people also have a taste of this. Since I was born, I've never known any ruler except Muammar Gaddafi. Yes, he was a kafir based on what he has watched. He had done. But this thing is, the scholars will not encourage revolt against him. Because we know the evil of this revolt. So they lie to us. They say peaceful demonstration is what is allowed in Islam. Peaceful demonstration is not necessarily what? Khuruj. Is there any khuruj that doesn't start with peaceful demonstration? Any khuruj is going to start with what? Peaceful demonstration. Any khuruj is going to start by you attacking the government. When it gets to what? Armed struggle. And it comes to what? War. And property, families will be destroyed. So this we ought to understand. Some people, they let us feel as if what we are witnessing today has not happened in the history of mankind. This is what? Complete lie. The complete lie. So they want to deceive us. Some will come in the name of the Muslims. We should go and participate in politics. So that what? We can change things there. Are you going to change things in participating in it? When you want to change, you have to what? Orientate people first. Who are the people you are going to orientate? The same people you are living with, in the same society, you have to change their orientation about Islam. Then you have what? You have paved way. You have done a good thing. But for you to say, okay, let me go and join them the way they are playing their politics. When you join them and you say you want to Islamize it, well, like, reality has proven that you are lying. Some scholars, they gave this fatwa with good heart, with for the interest of Islam, that if you are going because you want to change it for Islamic whatever, this is good. But when people who are saying we are going in for Islamic whatever, when they got in, they could not change anything. They couldn't change anything. Rather, they are worse than those people that you are talking about. At times, reality let us know. If you have two opinions on the matter, some scholars say this, some scholars say this. At times, reality will let you know which of the two opinions is correct. Not which of the two opinions is what? It's better, it's correct. Reality will make you know at times. When the scholars say, okay, if you want to change it for Islamic, whatever, you can go in. If you are sincere, Allah is going to guide you. Allah is going to make this. But when people got here, so the reverse was the case. So which means that your participation in the so-called democracy or whatever is never a solution to the problem of the Muslims. You are going in order to embarrass and disgrace yourself. So this is what the reality. So these people will say, okay, let us go in. If we don't go in, how are we going to change things? How are the Muslims going to do so and so? You feel your watch. They are talking sense. Now you participate, let's assume that you win the election. Or maybe the election is rigged. What are you going to do? The next thing, let us meet at the Favalewa Square. We are going to stage a peaceful protest. Peaceful protest. It starts. This is something that we have watched, we have seen in history. The people in Algeria, the Islamic Salvation Front, they participated in election, and the people, the masses, they voted for them. They won. But the government in power refused to give up the power. So they started with what? Protest. Later, armed struggle came. So they formed, some people came out of the Islamic Salvation Front, and they formed what? Jaish al-Inqaz army. And they started the battle with the government. A lot of Muslims, over 300,000 Muslims, lost their lives. Have they been able to establish Sharia? The Brotherhood participated in elections in Egypt. When Morsi came in, was he able to establish Sharia? Rather, it was worse. His government was worse than that of Mubarak. What Mubarak did not allow, he allowed it. The Shia came in order to have a stay in Egypt. And he reached an agreement with them. So the Shia, they flooded Egypt just during a year in office. So the same thing in Tunisia. In the same Tunisia where the Brotherhood participated in election. They won election there. The same Tunisia we are hearing today that they want to make the inheritance of the male and the female equal. Now, what benefit has this done for Islam? So, what I'm trying to say in essence is that some people will come watch in the name of let us participate in politics so that we can help the Muslims, so that we can move forward Islam. Then maybe they are denied or it is rigged. The next thing is what? Is protest. So you see some people saying things like this. Then some of them, when it becomes something of protest or armed struggle. They come up with what? The issue of revolting against the authority is a controversial issue. Like one of them posted it on his Facebook, whatever, some days back. He said the issue of revolt against the authority is a controversial matter. It's paving way for where they are going. So if they participate in the election or so, maybe the election is rigged, then they come up with that yes, you can revolt against, just like they did in all those countries. We are saying this so that we will not fall for them. So what transpired between the companions has nothing to do with what? Revolt against the authority because they denied them some worldly benefits. The Messenger of Allah has addressed that aspect. So it's something that has to do with what Ta'wil side. The Khawarij, they killed Uthman radiallahu anhu. And some people felt those people should be brought to book. They felt that what those people, the Khawarij, should be brought to book. But they were not gentle in handling that matter, and that later led to what? The battle between, led to that of what? Siffin, from the Battle of Jamas. Likewise, that of Siffin. You look at that issue. Somebody who is in government, some people came and what? Killed the authority. Okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to be silent on those people? So some companions have the opinion that no, we have to deal with these people first. So the matter was not managed well, and it resulted into, but these people, they are what? They are fighting for worldly benefits. The government has not done this, has not done that, has not. Some will call it the name of what? The government is doing this, and it's haram in Islam, is this, is that, is that. So we should differentiate between these two. We should not allow them to mislead us. When Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu from Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al Tadri ibn Ummi Abdin, do you know, O son of Ummu Abd? Ibn Ummi Abd, this is a kind of kunya that the Prophet will call Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Ummi Abd. So the kunya, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will call Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, كيف حكم الله في من بغى من آل الأمة؟ What has Allah ruled concerning the one who does bother you in this ummah? Messenger of Allah was said to be asking Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. قال الله ورسوله أعلم. He said that Allah and His Messenger أعلم. Allah and His Messenger know best. قال, he said, لا يجعز على جريحا. Those that were injured should not be finished. Those who are injured or wounded in the battle, la yujhaz ala jariha, that is, they should not be finished. They should not be killed completely. Wala yuktal asiruha, those that were captured should not be killed. وَلَا يُطْلَبْ أَعْرِبُهَا, those that run away should not be looked after. وَلَا يُقْسَمْ فَيْهَا, whatever things gotten from them should not be distributed, should not be shared. رواه البزار, البزار قدر اسوى الحاكم and الحاكم وصعها, and he said صحيح فوهما, so he made a mistake. This is a statement of Ibn Hajar. فَإِنَّ فِي إِسْنَادِهِ أَوْصَرَ بْنَ حَكِيمٍ وَهُوَ مَتْرُوكٌ. In the shame of that hadith, there is somebody called Kawthar ibn Hakim. He is matruk, as Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala has said. And many other scholars of hadith, they said The presence of Kawthar bin Hakim in that chain makes that hadith weak. Now, from the explanation that has proceeded, we have been able to differentiate between Al-Baghi and the Khawarij. We said Al-Baghi ordinarily, when they say Al-Baghi or the Bughat, these are people who have issue with the authority. But they have what? They have a genuine reason in Islam. They have a genuine reason in Islam. So their ta'wil is sa'ik. Their interpretation is something that is permissible. How to go about it? This is where problem comes. So these are Al-Baghi. And they themselves, maybe they have what? A formidable army. Like the case of Muawiyah, for instance. Now, Muawiyah in Sham was the governor, and he had what? A formidable army. He was in Sham, for instance, for 20 years as a governor under Umar radiallahu anhu. So he had what? He had army. But the problem is that Umar radiallahu anhu cannot just be killed like that and will be silent. That Ali radiallahu anhu should watch, should kill those people who have watched, who have killed Uthman radiallahu anhu. So those people, they were trying to also create a kind of disagreement and so a kind of discord among them. So likewise, you know, they are far from Medina. They are far from Medina. And that's why scholars will put this type of conditions. When we say Al-Baghi, the people of transgression that you are talking about, they must have what Tawil Sa'id, a permissible interpretation of the event in the Sharia. Then they must have Shauka, they must have what? A formidable army. Then they must be far from the influence, so to say, of the authority. Then they had at times they have their own watch, ruler, the one that is controlling them. This is what to make things easily analyzed. Not like somebody or some people, a group of people just come out of the larger society saying what they want to demand for their rights from the authority. They start with peaceful protest, carrying placards. Later, if not well managed, this results into armed struggle and it turns to war. So just as we have it in most wars that were fought in a country. So the way of the Khawarij is clear. So we shouldn't mix it up with the Al-Baghi. Then the Al-Baghi, in their transgression on their part, they should be fought as well. They should be fought. But this doesn't mean what we are going to treat the Khawarij just like we treat the ordinary Al-Baghi. No. The Khawarij, their own case, are clear. The definition of the Khawarij, these are people who revolt against the authority. They revolt against the authority. Then, in some cases, maybe those who are making takfir of the Muslims without any genuine reason. If they make the fear of some people who ascribe themselves to Islam for a genuine reason, you won't call them Khawarij. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fear of some people. The Prophet also made the fear of some people. But making the fear of people without any genuine reason in the Sharia, this is the trait of the Khawarij. And the Khawarij revolt against the authority. So as a part of the Aqid of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah is that we don't revolt against the authority, whether pious or not pious. whether pious or not pious. And that was what Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, when people wanted to revolt against Yazid, the son of Muawiyah, he said, I dissociate myself from you people. And he warned his children, he said, any one of you who participate in this, he said, I dissociate myself from such a person. He said, because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said some people will be bearing the flags of what? Of Ghadr. That is dishonesty, so to say, on the day of Qiyamah, because of the way they relate with their authority. So this is something that we should understand. Yes, the rulers, they have some shortcomings. They are not doing this, they are not doing that. That doesn't mean we should revolt against them. Whether things that have to do with the deen of Islam or things that have to do with our own benefits, we don't revolt against them. Rather, we continue to do what you're supposed to do to them. Then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our rights. And let's wait and see what will happen. But taking to the way of the kuffar, we have seen the fruits of taking to the way of the kuffar. In Egypt, in Syria, in Yemen, in Libya, in Tunisia, we have seen the fruits of taking to their way. Despite this, some people will not come back. Some people will not turn back. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. So this hadith is not authentic from the Messenger of Allah. There are some reports from Ali radiallahu anhu in Sunan al-Bayhaqi, Sunan al-Kubra, talking about how we should relate with people like this. When they are wounded, will not kill them. And when they are caught, we won't kill them. When they are caught, the wealth with them, we won't take their wealth. As if what these are, what they call booties of war. Because they are brothers. They are Muslims. Just little misunderstanding, so to say, lead to this amongst us. So the people of Baghdad, this is the way they are treated. But the Khawarij, their own case is what is different. And the Khawarij Kufar, what most scholars are upon is that they are not Kufar. And this is the way Ali radiallahu anhu treated them as well. When he was asked concerning them, he said, Amushrikunahum? Are they Mushrikun? He said, Mina Shirki Farru. They ran away from shirk. أَفَمُنَافِقُونَهُمْ أَلَيْهِ مُنَافِقُونَ He said, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقُونَ لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The munafiqun will not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless little. He said, فَمَا هُمْ? Who are they? He said, قَوْمٌ قَوْمٌ. Huh? They are what? A people. بَغَوْا عَلَيْنَا. They transgressed on us. And that's why he said, at times, we see what the Khawarij are also what? Bughat. But their own baghi is not like the baghi of those who are not fighting the authority because of what? Because of the worldly things. And that was why Ali radiallahu anhu, with respect to what transpired between him and some of the companions in the Battle of Jamal and the Battle of Siffin, Ali radiallahu anhu said he fought them not because he had any information from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the case of the Khawarij came out, he was happy. He fought them seriously. But the shine there is that he didn't see them as what kuffar. Some scholars said they are kuffar, and they took this from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, that the Prophet said what? Yakhrujuna. In a deen. They'll be going out of the deen. Huh? So to say what? They are kuffar. And now we mention this. Ibn Hajar also said it So, basing it on that of the hadith of Abu Sa'id Khudri, that they will be going out of the deen. But what most scholars are upon is that the Khawarij are not kuffar. Among the contemporary scholars, those who have the opinion that they are kuffar, like Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, he favored the view that they are kuffar. For most scholars, they have the opinion that they are not kuffar. They are brothers in Islam, but they have transgressed. And their transgression has to do with what? Revolting against the authority for worldly benefits, or some things that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has discussed. So they are different from the ordinary Bugats. They are Khawarij. They are Khawarij. So as for the Khawarij, they will be fought if they fight the people. They will be killed if they kill people as well. But should they be preempted with fight? No. The authority won't fight people until what? Until they fight. So if people now wage war against the authority, then the authority has a right to deal with them. The authority has a right to deal with them. وصح عن علي من طرق نحوه موقوفا. He says it is authentic from Ali, من طرق نحو, from sources like this, موقوفا, that is as statement of Ali رضي الله عنه. أخرج ابن أبي شيبة and Al-Hakim also recorded this in their books. وعن عرفجة من شريح, from عرفجة is son of شريح. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say من أتاكم وأمركم جميع, whoever comes to you while your affair is under one person, يريد أن يفرق جماعتكم, wanting to break your jama'ah, فقتلوهم كائنا من كان, in one of the reports, regardless of who the person is. So if you are under a ruler and somebody is trying to wrest power from such a person, so we should give support to the incumbent ruler. So we fight the person that is trying to wrest power. Because wresting power from the authority is not something that Islam encourages. إلا أن تروا كفرا بواحا, unless if you see clear كفر. عندكم من الله في برهان, that you have evidence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a ruler becomes a disbeliever, he's doing things of كفر, such a ruler is qualified to be revolted against. But there is one condition. The condition is, do you have the military will without to do that? If yes, this is permissible. If no, then one should not commit a suicide. Yes, commit a suicide. Because it's going to be suicidal when you revolt against an authority and the authority kills hundreds of thousands of people. That will be suicidal. You want to remove an authority, and once you are unable to remove the authority, or you remove the authority, something worse comes. It's only a madman that would think that way. A sensible person will not embark on such a mission. Because if you are going to remove somebody and somebody better watch will replace him, yes, this makes sense. But you are removing somebody and a lot of lives were lost, then when another person is going to replace, is the same person or somebody of the same evil that is replacing. Does that make sense? I've lost a lot of lives, wasted a lot of lives. Then I'm back towards square one. Islam will not encourage such. And that's why it is clear. When the rulers, maybe they are committing some sinful acts, not kufru, you don't revolt against them. This is the consensus of the scholars of Sunnah, contrary to what some scholars of Bid'ah are saying. The scholars of Sunnah, the rulers are doing some things that are sinful. You don't revolt against them because of that. When they do things of kufru, then they deserve to be revolted against. But with one condition. That is, if you have the power to remove them without just wasting the lives of people unnecessarily. And what is going to replace that is not going to be something that is more evil, or that is as evil as that thing. This is the way of the Salaf al-Salih. And that's why people like Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala will say often and often that, okay, let's agree with you people that some of these rulers are what kuffar. Yes, some of the rulers are kuffar. But do you have the military wherewithal to remove these people without unnecessarily wasting the blood of people? And the Sheikh will say this often and often, advising the youth that are being zealous in removing the authority. So when the authority becomes a kafir, the next thing is, do we have the military wherewithal to remove him without unnecessarily spilling the blood of the people, without unnecessarily splitting the ranks of the Muslims as well? So these are things that we ought to take into consideration. So, and we should not allow ourselves to be deceived by people who are thirsty for power. Yes, thirsty for power. But not in Islam, you should not be thirsty for power. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innakum satahrisuna lal-imara wa satakunu nadamatan yawm al-qiyamah." The time will come that you people will be thirsty for power. You will be eager to become rulers. And it's going to be nadama, is going to be a regret for you people on the day of Qiyamah. Not only in this world, it's going to be a regret for you on the day of Qiyamah. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abdurrahman, he said, "Ya Abdurrahman ibn Samra, la tis'al al-imara." Oh Abdurrahman, do not ask for power. Don't ask for leadership. فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ أُوتِيتَ عَنْ غَيْرِ مَسْأَلَةٍ عُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا. If you are given without requesting for it, you are going to be helped, assisted. When utita and mas'alatin, if you ask because you are longing for it, utita ilayha, Allah will abandon you with it. So some people will not say, let us come, we have to have a political party to do what? Are we going to take your own statement, or we are going to take the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And we have seen those who have participated in this thing have their watch. How they have affected Islam negatively. So what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam discourages us from, they encourage us to do. They say, okay, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, did he not become what? A ruler or a minister? Did he not become so and so? So he asked for it. Now what did Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning not struggling for power is clear, but he doesn't want to take that. He wants to go and take that of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. That of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, there is no evidence here for you. Why? He was told, "Innaka al-yawma ladayna makinun abi." That is, you are what? Makin, you are given every chance. Whatever you want to become, you are free. So if the authority say, okay, we invite you, said, okay, we want you to choose any of these posts. Are you asking for power? No, they invited you. You are not asking for power. So Yusuf alayhi salam was told, you are what? You have every opportunity. Which ministry you want to handle for us? And he said to them, "Ija'alni ala khazain al-ard in hafizun ali." Put me on what? Khazain al-ard. Let me manage the agricultural whatever. So they gave him the options to choose. Not that he contested for power. So we can't use that of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam as evidence. When we have what? Clear evidences. So that's why they would deceive us that they are going there for the sake of Islam. But when you get there, you see people buying for what? Bowing for? What is the meaning of bowing for? For a stick? Are you doing that in order to protect the Muslims? Then you see, those people will be those who watch, who will affect the Muslims more. So enough of this deceit, deceiving the people, all in the name of Islam. If you want to play politics like the politicians. You know that what, you are all politicians. But for you to trade with Islam, wallahi, this is one of the most dangerous things, trading with Islam. You use Islam to deceive people, but you have what? You have your mission. You want to enrich yourself, but how can you deceive the people to get vote for them? You ask them to do this in the name of Islam. And when you get there, you are not assisting Islam. You are ruining yourself the more. So this is a thing that you ought to ponder on. Because there are people who are campaigning vigorously for this now. And that's why we ought to call our attention to things like this, so that we will not fall for them, so that what happened in those Muslim world or in those countries in the Islamic world or Muslim world will not happen in our country as well. So don't let us trade with Islam to get our selfish interests. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us subhanahu wa ta'ala. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
My first question is about something up in Iran about Elon Musk. He's tweeted requesting for people to die from electric power to keep the oil company. Can he be right? What is forbidden in that? Second thing is that they are saying that the people should not involve in politics, and we know what is happening in our environment. If we need diversity to be there, we will be affected. So, what do we do?
Nam alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, ala rasulillah, wa now let me start with the second question. If we leave the bad people in politics, people will be affected. Are we good people? When you say people will be affected, the people that will be affected, are they good people? If they are good people, Allah is going to give them good leaders as well. So people have been saying this thing for long, and those people who have been saying it, they participated. And you've not been able to watch, so do good things. So it now appears that those people are also in for their own selfish interests. But there is no way they can get there except for them to lie to you that they want to go and right the wrong that is being perpetrated by those people. In the first instance, you want to go in. Are you not going to join them? You are going to join the evil people that you are talking about before you can get to any place you want to get to. And you have to compromise. If you don't compromise with them, they are not going to give you anything. Let's assume that, okay, you say you are interested in what? In correcting the evil. You have to join one of the political parties. When the people say, okay, this man is the most pious man, let us give him the candidacy of governorship or so and so. They won't say that. So you have to join them in all the things that they are doing. You have to join them. Then when they now see you as a qualified person, according to their own standards. Now say, okay, this person can go. By then, you would have compromised a lot of things. Maybe you will not even be praying regularly. Maybe where you are supposed to be in what? In Salah. You are in what? In one crucial meeting of the parties. So by the time you will be what? You will be an eligible candidate as far as they are concerned. You are what? You have lost substantial part of your deen. So this is the reality. So the one who wants to go and correct the system, but before he gets to the system, he himself has been what? Corrupted. For instance, you want to go and change the corrupted system, so to say, you yourself will have to bribe before you can get votes. No bribe, no votes. No bribe, no votes. But okay, let me bribe, so when I get there now, I will correct it. It's not possible. It's not possible. So when you get there, because you are in the midst of the corrupt people you are talking about, you cannot do everything by yourself. You have to watch award contracts. You have to do this. Somebody will be appointed as your minister, as so and so. The person that you are going to appoint as your minister must have the same thinking with you. If he doesn't have the same thinking with you, you are wasting your time. He will tell you, Oga, you have finished everything. In fact, everything has been perfected. And maybe he has pocketed a lot of money. And you will be said to be the one who's ruling. So this is something that is clear. You can't go into the midst of the corrupt people and watch and correct them, and you are inside them. You are doing, whining and dining with them. Doing the same thing with them is not possible. So, but if the person says, I want to go in, to go and enjoy myself, yeah, that's clear. Don't trade with Islam. Don't trade with Islam. So, Allah Allah. Now the second one, protest against the NEPA, so to say. I think this is something that we can dialogue, we can negotiate. So you send delegates to them, your delegation, when they meet them, you discuss. This is what we want, this is... So rather than what, carrying placards and the likes, saying we are protesting. So when you protest, they also have a way of also... achieving what they want to achieve. I was in the bus about 3 or so days ago. Somebody now said that in their area that they had protested and demonstrated against the NEPA, and from the look of things, it's going to yield well. The other person said, hey, you have just started your punishment too. Said, we did this in our own area. We thought everything would work well too. When we were looking at you from reception, he said, but even the NEPA people were calling us, begging us, come, let us negotiate. He said, no, this is what you want. No negotiation, nothing. He said, then they took away the light for 5 months. Then we started begging them. He started begging them. He said, it is good for you to go and negotiate with them rather than not doing this protest. So, the protests of a thing, they have let us believe as if that is the solution to it. If it's not working in the West, how do you think it will work here? I said it to some people. People protested in the West against what? The moving of the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Where is the American embassy now? Where is it? The American embassy in Israel, where is it? In Jerusalem now. Is it not in Jerusalem? Now, what did the people benefit from all that protest demonstration? Souls were lost, people were killed. What did they benefit? Nothing. Some people came out in America, in Britain, they also they demonstrated. But it did not need anything. So protests can never be solution to problems. Some people say, okay, at least we can see 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 100 that works. Is that a good method? If 1 out of 100 is working, or 10 out of 100 is working, or 1 out of 10, that's not a good method. Look for another method. If your son writes an exam and he scores 1/10, are you going to praise him for that? So a system that you are using that 1 out of 10 will work, is that system a good system? So this athletics is not the way of the Muslims. Now, some people will continue to encourage us to adopt that way because they are growing fat. They are making money out of it. They are getting recognition out of it. So they continue to encourage us. So Allah Allah.
For instance, how many people are going to the room, or in the room, like I said, or you put up a screen and you like that, you get to the and you get to of the weapons, kind of. That's the first question. The second question is, it's common these days now that we see politicians asking to apply for post of the hand. And in most of the cases, it's the politician who has to have that. Now, the person that is applying, I kind of like him to someone who's asking for a position that is solid, that is a lot of time and probably not strong. Then, if you don't want to invent, can we help? Can we say it differently?
No, undoubtedly, when one criticizes the leader publicly, that constitutes a real beginning of a khuruj. When you criticize the ruler, maybe behind, or maybe in your house, that's something that is normal. Normal as in, is natural. Is natural. You want to react to something that you see, but don't allow it to become what something of khuruj. It becomes something of khuruj when you are gathering and you are saying it publicly, because that opinion you are not sharing it to others. So as you are sharing the opinions to others or with others, so it becomes something that will be growing. So and that's why scholars, they will caution us concerning criticizing the authority. That if you want to criticize the authority, criticize us in maybe doing a kind of inkar that is on something that he's doing. It should be between you and him. It should be between you and him. When it is between you and him, it's like what? It's not something that is in the open. And if it's something that is in the open, we have to look at the caliber, so to say, or the weight of the person that is criticizing the authority publicly. Take for instance, if somebody that you respect a lot, you respect the person a lot, if he criticizes you in the open, for instance, he criticizes you in the open, people can hear, so people can hear what he's saying, and somebody who doesn't have any weight criticizes you, are you going to deal with them the same way? Eh? There are some people when they criticize you, you just take it, well, maybe this person is an elderly person, maybe this person is my senior, is superior. When your boss at work, for instance, now blast you, you can't compare it to when a junior person at work blasts you. Your boss at work blasts you, it will be worse, it will be lighter than when a junior. So the same thing, when somebody criticizes the ruler in the open, maybe in front of the ruler, now we are not talking about somebody on the minbar attacking them. Somebody is telling you, why are you doing this? This is wrong, Islamically. Like Imam, for instance, now trying to correct a ruler. It depends what is the weight of that Imam. If the malam is respected by that authority, this may not be that wrong. But if the malam is not somebody that is respected, you are talking to me, go and put this man in what? In jail. That is going to be what? Evil. And that's why they will advise that even talking to the ruler, criticizing the ruler one-on-one, that is in the open where people can see, it is better avoided. If you criticize the ruler between you and him, and what he deals with you for that, that is considered jihad. But Umar Abdullah ibn Abbas of the line at Al-Imam ibn Abi Shayba recorded, say that if you are afraid that your imam, that is your ruler, will kill you if you tell him the truth, said Falatin how, leave him. But if you are not afraid of that, then you can what? You can advise him. All these things have to do with what? The benefits and what? Evil. Correcting somebody is to bring about benefits. When you are correcting people and you see that the evil that is going to come out of it is going to be worse, then that correction is not needed at that particular time. Or when you want to prohibit something to people, you see that when you prohibit this, they are going to leave this and go to something that is worse. That is worse. And that's why Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim in his book, Ilam al-Muwaqqi'in also, he narrated a story that he and Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah were going. So they got to a place, they saw some people taking intoxicants, and they were drunk. So he wanted to approach them to say, don't you know that intoxicant is haram? He said, no, leave them. So he was not surprised. How could my Sheikh say what? I should leave these people who are drunk, who are taking. Is that these people, their intention is that they want to kill the Muslims, the Tatars. They want to attack the Muslim society and kill them. It is this intoxicant that they are taking now that has prevented them from what? Continue that thing. So when you stop them from what, they are going to do something that is worse. So he himself now brought an example. Somebody is reading books of Mujun. Maybe, let's say, things that are pornographic or things like that. Eh? Maybe they are talking about women, reading all these funny novels that some of them read. If you know you want to prohibit him or prevent him from reading this, you must be ready to give them something that is better. But when you know that when they leave that thing, they are going to be reading book of magic and the likes, it is good you leave them with the book of this thing that they are reading, because this is masia. When they leave this and they start reading book of magic and the likes, that is shirk. So these are things that you ought to know. So Allahu a'lam. Now? Now, if somebody say, well, we want an imam for a mosque, for instance, contesting for it or applying for it. So if they say they have so and so, and you feel that if you go, you can what? You can fill in the gap and what? And do righteous deeds. Yeah, that may be acceptable. Because if you don't go, other people who are less competent will go. But on condition that what you are going to do, what the needful when you get there. How this is clear? So it's not something that is encouraged. But take for instance, you see that if you don't go, other people, the people of innovation will go. Eh? But you are going because of this. So this is different from what vying for political post. This has to do with what? Leading the salah, guiding the people towards what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So they are different. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala was asked similar question in his Sharh on Sahih Muslim. And he said these are two different things. One of the companions said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ij'alni imama qawmi, make me the imam of my people. He said, anta imamuhum. You are the imam who are telling the ad'afi'im. But when you are leading them, consider the weakest of them. So the man requested, the ja'alni imam al-qawmi. So this has to do with what? The issue of salah. So if you see that you are the best that can do it, you don't leave it for those who will not do it well. Obviously, it's clear. But another issue is when you now see that you can't do anything when you get here. Maybe the people that you are going to meet here, they will turn you into what they are. Then in that case, it will be wrong for you to go, just as we said, concerning the issue of contesting for a political post. But both of them, they are two different things. Originally, two different things. Asking for political power is different from what asking for. Because this one is for you to lead the people in Solar. This one is what? It seems to us making money. Want to be head of state and things like that. Because it seems to us what? Making money. One may have good intention. But this one is what? The Solar is what is clear. But when you know that when you get there, they are going to make you the way they are, then it becomes haram for you to also do that. Just like part of the political whatever. When we talk about the political whatever, originally it's not encouraged. But when you see that, okay, if you don't do as people will argue, things will fall in the hand of, then scholars may say in this situation, because of this, the absence of those who are qualified, you can go. How this is clear. But the condition is, you must not be in the midst of those who are going to make you worse. You can't say you want to save the people, and what, you ruin yourself Islamically. How this is clear.
You know,
not everybody.
What is happening now? What is happening? So that they are there with their own.
Now.
What is the question of what are your own? Now, if they now have to say, okay, what is the problem? Or whatever. And they
want to make you.
When you say, that was there by the other one, that was all that. You know what is happening. I want to say that because we need this to accept it.
I think the answer has been if they call you that come and be minister of what? You know, we say they are all thieves. No, the issue is when you are invited, ordinarily it is difficult for you not to be treading their path and they say they want to choose you for the minister. It's difficult. But let's assume that this man is very good. Let him come and be what minister of so and so. Should you take it? In a good system, it is good for you to take it when you know you have what the qualification. But when you know that when you get in, they are going to corrupt you, then you shouldn't take it. Now,
I have no question.
Okay.
And it's doing very well to the gap right
now.
I'm going to say, that hadith.
Now that hadith has nothing to do with what you are talking about. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi." Whoever sees something that is munkar, he should change it with his hand. Eh? That is if he has the ability to change it. If he has the ability to change it. How can we say somebody has the ability to do something? Huh? That is when he does it, more evil is not going to come out of it. Not that because the person has the ability to carry gun, for instance, now. Maybe, let's say, a boy of 25 or 30 or 40, now say, this is the chairman of the local government that has been eating up the money of, and he carries gun and what, he shoots him. And the man dies. He said, why? He said, Rasulullah said, what? Mara aminkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi. Is that the meaning of the hadith? No. Because he doesn't have what? The ability. What he has done is going to backfire. Seriously. So, Mara aminkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi is the one who is going to change something with his hand, and that is not going to have what? Adverse effect. You say such a person has what? Kudra. He has the power to do that. But when it's going to have adverse effect, then such a person does not have power. If to kill somebody is what is considered power, everybody can do that. Everybody can do that. Only a boy of 5 can do that. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for years in Mecca, he did not destroy the idols. He didn't destroy the idols. But when they conquered Mecca, he started the destruction of the idols. Then he was not strong enough to do that. When he became what, the head of state in Medina, and he became a powerful person, he was able to destroy those idols. This is Kudra. When Ilam is 30, if he cannot do that, said what? Fabini Sadi. He should with. He should change it with his tongue. For everybody to tell the truth. That is when you are telling the truth, and it's not going to have what? Adverse effect. When you say something that is going to lead your whole society a problem, that you don't have the kudra. This is what you've been explaining. Finland, you're certainly not because me. If he cannot with his tongue, then with his heart. For Zalika da'aful iman. That is the weakest of. So for somebody to see something wrong going, and even his heart cannot criticize that thing, his heart cannot criticize it, then that is not iman. What it means is that person loves that munkar that is going. But at times some people will be strong, will be powerful enough that they can watch, speak against that thing. And when they speak against it, nothing will come out of it, that is, nothing evil. In fact, maybe the people will work towards correcting it. But some people, when they speak against something like that, they are bringing what? More evil on themselves and the society. So that's why Fine Lamb Yastati should be marked. Yeah? Fine Lamb Yastati, if he cannot. There's nobody that cannot change something. But at times when you try to change it, maybe the adverse effect of that thing is going to be more than the benefit that is going that you're going to get from it. So the hadith is not about what you have been discussing. So this is just leaving things that are clear and holding on to something that is what is ambiguous. Though not really ambiguous, it's also clear as well. But the person is trying to use it for a place where he's not supposed to use it. So we can see the life of the Messenger of Allah, something that he was silent on. Like one day he said to the people, he said, لَوْلَا أَنَّ قَوْمَكَ حَدِيثُ أَهْدِ بِكُفْرِ If not that your people are not far from Kufr, that is, they have just embraced Islam. Lahadamtum Kaaba. I would have watched, destroyed the Kaaba. Wala ja'altuha ala qa'id Ibrahim. I would make it the way Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam built it. But he didn't do that. Why? Because then he knew that the power was not there. Not the power to destroy, but if he destroyed, what will come out of it? These people are not far from what? Kufr. And the Kaaba is what? Is something that they hold in high esteem. So for him to want to leave it like that, because what he wanted to do is not something that is what? Compulsory. It's something that what is better. So I'm going to do something that is better, and what is going to lead to is going to be more evil. So this, the scholars will look into. At times you'll be silent or something. Not that you don't see it. You see that thing, but it's, you are thinking that it's not the right time to watch, either to speak against it or to destroy it. The people have not grown to that level. So you want to keep quiet first. You won't say it is good though, but you keep quiet. You pretend as if you have not seen that thing. So this is method of what? Of doing the da'wah. So Allah.
If you want to
I'm changing the day of Akiko to be one has no financial wherewithal to do that. There is nothing wrong with that if one does not have the means to slaughter a ram. But if one has the means to do that, it's not okay for one to delay it. So, should it be on the same day? Yes. Should be on the same day. What if one does it on other than that day? No harm. No harm. But the best is for it to be on that day. The most important thing is to slaughter the ram. That's the most important thing. So if you slaughter it on the seventh day, that's a sunnah. If you slaughter it on the eighth day, no harm. But one has not followed the sunnah. So as some of the mashayikh have explained, like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala in Liqa'at Bab al-Maftur Rasul. Now the second question, if a Muslim's right has been tampered with and he knows that he can seek a redress, so to say, to each in the court, without committing something that is more haram or something that is haram in the course of getting that right, or something that is kufr in the course of getting that wajib, then there is nothing wrong in that, even if the court that is going to is a court where the man-made law is used. There is nothing wrong with that. So if the MSS also come together maybe to write a petition or to take the matter to court that the Muslims are being maltreated, there is nothing wrong with it. But for us to protest, this is out of it. but to take it to court, and they are not going to involve in something that is haram or something that is kufr or shirk in achieving that thing, there is nothing that says it is wrong. And this is what a lot of scholars are upon, like Sheikh Ibn Baz and some others from among the contemporary scholars. There is nothing that says it is what wrong, as long as what you are going to do in the court is not something that is what haram. But protest is out of it, so this should be noted. Now you mentioned the case of Firdaus. Now the case is not the issue of taking the matter maybe to court or to, no, this is not the issue. The issue is a female girl, sorry, a female sister, a female Muslim studying law to practice. So what benefit is it to the Muslims? So this is the issue. Now another thing is a Muslim studying common law. Now how is he going to study it? When he studies it, how is he going to practice it? What cases will he be taking? Will he be defending cases that are against the laws of Allah? All these are the issues that should be looked into when we talk about somebody's reading common law. Reading common law, no one. One can read common law. But what are the things that you are going to go through in reading it? Are you going to practice some things of kufru? Some things of mafia? In finishing that course, then after you have graduated, you want to practice it. What are the things that you are going to do in the court of law that are against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which cases you want to defend? So in that way, it is advice. The one who wants to study common law must be very good at the Sharia law. So when somebody brings a matter to you, you know the case that you are supposed to take and the case that you are not supposed to take. That, okay, this case, if I want to argue it in the common law court, the person is likely to win. But this case, if he wins it in the sight of Allah, it's haram. So such a case is clear. As a Muslim, you don't take such a case. Because if you take it, you know you are defending what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. But if you know that the case that person has brought to you is a case that the person is also what is, the person is right in the Sharia, then when you take such a case and what you pursue it, you follow it up, you are doing something that is good. You are teaching somebody to get his right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. So we can't just rubbish it completely, and we cannot take it completely the way some people are taking it. So we have to look at, okay, a female Muslim studying law, practicing law, of what benefit is that to the Muslims? Ordinarily, such a girl, for instance, I mean, we used to see people that will be given our cases. Women, females will not want to give our cases to handle. They prefer males in handling their what, their cases. Women are female, are co-females, we prefer a male to handle that. So maybe some of them will be doing some assistance in the chamber and the likes, sending her to prepare some documents, do this. This is what most of them end up doing. Or some of them will study the company law and the hair, so they will be what, dealing in aspects like this. But even company law, you have to know the Sharia law concerning what company matters. So anything you want to study common law, you must be good at the Sharia law. If you are not good at the Sharia law, you will know when you'll be crossing boundaries. Allah. No. Okay. The same thing. You have to, if you are good at the Sharia law, you know the laws that you can defend. If it's not defending now, when you defend, no harm. as long as you're not going to participate in kufru things when you get to the court of law. But whether criminal law, the company law, so and so law, all these laws, they exist in Islam. We have laws guiding buying and selling transaction in Islam. So we have what the company's laws, you know, what in Islamic jurisprudence. We have the criminal laws. We have so many laws in Islam. So when you know that this is what Allah has said, but the law in your country has said something contrary, and somebody who has who is your client, what the country's law has said favors the person, but that is against the Sharia law. You now go to the court to go and defend what you know is against the Sharia. This is the problem. So Allah, Allah. I wasn't able to. Okay. What I'm saying is, or what I said, is I think the question has to do with feeding them with something like blood and the likes. That this is not okay. This is not okay for me to bring blood or dead animal to feed my animals that I'm rearing. It's not okay because those things are what are najis. They are filthy. So, but if they feed once in a while on those things by themselves, once in a while, so which is what is something that is natural for the animals to feed on some filthy things. So this is disregarded. It will be considered. Yes, but if primarily they are feeding on those things, so they call them jalala. Jalala is an animal that feeds primarily on filthy things. So if such an animal is caught, it will be isolated and fed with good food. If it is a chicken, for 3 days. And if it is a cow, like for 10 days. So that those things would have been neutralized, so to say. But okay, I'm feeding my animal in my house. Then the animal goes out and feeds on some filthy things. This is not the one we are talking about. It's normal for them to do that. But when they feed majorly on filthy things, yes. I was unable to complete my Ramadan fast last year because I was pregnant. This year, I was unable to complete the fast because I was breastfeeding. Please, how am I supposed to pay back all the fast? And this takes us back to the view of the scholars on whether a pregnant woman that is unable to fast should pay back or should do fidya. Majority of the scholars are of the opinion that she does fidya, sorry, she pays back. Huh? So let's assume that this year she's pregnant, the following year breastfeeding, the following year pregnant, following year breastfeeding, following year pregnant. Pregnant, pregnant, breastfeeding. Let's say for about 20 years. Meaning what? She will be having what? 20 years Ramadan. How is she going to do that? So something, this is what you are talking about. If she has done fidya, that would have been what? It will be taken away from her. But those who say she should pay back, they say, now you can live with Allah, not son in law, sir. Let her start to pay back. If she dies before she's able to complete everything, it's not her fault. It's not her fault. So that is the qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though it may not go the way I've said, but I'm just taking the worst case that this year pregnant, the following year breastfeeding. Like that, that's the worst case that you can have. But let's assume that it goes that way. Huh? So those people say, "La, you can live Allah with nafsan. Let her pay whatever she can pay." So Allah SWT knows that she's not the one negligent. Those people said that she can what? Do fidya. Now, doing fidya is a very strong opinion because it's an opinion of two companions, Abdullah bin Abbas and Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhu. This is their opinion. So it's a very strong opinion. But my advice generally is that a woman that can pay back, let her pay back. But if she wants to stick to that opinion, it's something that is also welcome. Allahu a'lam. If she dies, why pay back? Can the husband pay on her behalf? This is also a controversial issue. Some scholars are of the opinion that yes, they can pay on her behalf. Maybe a husband or maybe a relatives can pay on her behalf. Based on the hadith, Mamma Tawalay Siyam Sama'an Waliyu. Whoever dies and he or she has some fast to pay back, a wali can pay on her behalf. For some scholars of the opinion, this hadith is talking about somebody who has a compulsory fast on himself or herself. Not compulsory as in Ramadan, but compulsory as a vow. A vow. Somebody who has vowed that I'm going to fast so and so. No, this is different from Ramadan. So, the view of Abdullah bin Abbas and Aisha is that hadith is talking about, that is the hadith of paying back on Adiyah, is talking about nothing that is vowed. But what about the one who is able to pay back? They said they can do fidya on Adiyah. That's the view of Abdullah bin Abbas and Aisha radiallahu anha. And this is the favorite opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك